So that's Harry Boardman, his real seven, and you were just talking about Wilton House or that area.
Yes,
Harry.
Yes. Now, it has the best Southern Command headquarters built, newly built, in the grounds that belonged to Wilton House on the other side of the road. They have a little chapel inside that only holds four people on the road itself. Anyway, but Wilton was a wonderful little thing. In actual fact, I've got a couple of items in there, jade, that I bought for half a crown at a jumble sale there, that they hadn't a clue that it was jade. Anyway, it's beside the point. And really, our mess, the Warren Thompson Science mess, was built up further. Incidentally, it's all going up from Wilton House. The contours of the land keep going up and up and up and up and up and up and so on. And finally, you've got the Warren Thompson Science mess, which was quite high. And then we had the football field on the other side, which came level with the roof of our building at Warren Thompson's Hearts Mess, so on. And I used to arrange for training, you know, we were training people. They used to send them to me for training and for the people. And I used to arrange one thing especially, because my window on the second floor of the mess, my bedroom window, came level, or there's a great thing in empty downstairs where all sorts of buildings were, small buildings, but my window came level with the football field for Southern Command, and so on. So I used to arrange when we had, you know, they used to send me, oh, you try six people for training for intelligence corps and so on, to do things, because I used to train them in unarmed combat and this business of what you can do by just digging rather than stabbing people and messing people about, the things you can do, you know, kicking the kneecaps and all the usual stuff.
Can I just interject there, Harry, before you go further, because that's something that you've just spoken about for the first time, really, that your training and things you did with the intelligence. But of course, what you're talking about there, these fighting skills that you had, presumably go back to your wrestling days, do they?
Oh, yes, but not only that, but it's also part of necessary
training,
especially for an intelligence corps person who can get in serious trouble sometimes, you know, doing. So I used to arrange it that I used to say get two people, and I used to get one and write a special thing. You open this at midnight, you know, I'm saying, so he opens it at midnight, go up so and so and up so and so and up so and so, and it'll land him in fact on the top of the football field. But incidentally, a football field surrounded by trees and everything like that, of woods belonging to the house, belonging to Wilton House, surrounded by trees, just purely doing. In fact, the RSM actually once ordered, or was going to order until he was told otherwise, because leaves blew onto the parade ground, cut these trees down. These avenues of trees that the elder sons had planted over hundreds of years, cutting them down because
the leaves over the parade ground. But were they cut down?
No, naturally. Somebody told them it was, you know, stupidity. Anyway, beside the point. But my training ground used to be this football field surrounded by trees and everything like that. And one had to get onto this thing and manoeuvre round and do whatever and so on and get round. And the other one, who didn't know that it it was going on, had got the same kind of thing on the other side to go round and everything that I had. And he'll meet somebody somewhere, and you've got to get onto him and get a stranglehold and everything. Because I was keen on showing him all the strangleholds, you know, business. And I used to be there, you know, peering and so on. And sometimes half the mess, when we're fed up with nothing happening downstairs, would be up there, you know, seeing this contest on, and in the middle of the night or early morning, watching what these people would do. And we used to have some real thing. It's a wonder somebody didn't get killed in actual fact, you know, and so on. But we did manage it and so on. And we also used to have our special fungi thing that we used to get round there and so on. And Wilton House was absolutely wonderful. Mm. And I thought I'd finished with active service. That's why I was training these. They were sending me intelligence training. I was teaching them how to, you know, almost kill a person with a folded umbrella and a folded newspaper and things like that.
Can that be done, Harry?
Oh, yes. We hit them with the right thing right across here, you know.
You're just showing across the bridge of the nose and eyes there.
Oh, yes, and all that kind of thing. And everything worked out on that. But the thing is, I was then settled into sitting in the evening, in the armchair, either watching the television or whatever, because I never went in the bar. I never drink, you know, really drink. But I used to sit in the bar. Certainly the RSM used to sit there next to me and everything like that, and sandwiches come along and whatever. And I was sitting there nicely one evening when along came, instead of sandwiches, it was a quick note, "Quick, Cyprus, by midnight tonight." Oh, I nearly had a fit. My life had suddenly absolutely collapsed again, you know. And I had a wonderful rooms, you know, fabulous rooms. I always got my rooms beautifully furnished and everything like that, tapestries and everything like that, and so on. And literally, I actually landed. The aircraft came onto that football field that would have the people doing, and it picked me up from there, you know, really, and I was off, and I was in Cyprus by early morning, in actual fact.
So then the aircraft came just to pick you up, Harry, or to pick...
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Just you?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And it whipped me to Cyprus, and it was to find out who had planted... Someone had planted a bomb under the Nafi in the other ranked soldiers' things, and under the settee, had shoved a bomb under the settee... and gone, in actual fact, you know, and killed
in Cyprus.
Yes,
in
Cyprus.
Because I'm trying to think
yes.
of the person. Is it Macarius? Did he have something to do with Cyprus? Archbishop Macarius?
Oh, yes, Archbishop Macarius, yes.
Yes. So I'm just trying to think of some of these names.
Oh, yes, he's one of the... he was the, you know, problem.
So
in
what
fact,
was
my
the
colonel originally arrested Macarius when I was there earlier on, you know. He had arrested Macarius so that he couldn't go, but then of course he had to let him go.
So what was the problem there, Harry, in Cyprus? What was actually the problem there?
Oh, well, they didn't want British troops there. It was as simple as that. And they were having trouble with the Cypriots.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they were having trouble with the Cypriots. So when they went to Cyprus, that was the problem. They met me, you know, on the other island, Morbi. And as I stepped out of the little plane, in actual fact, like that, and so on, the sergeant major who was intelligence on Cyprus, "Here, you'll get this on, get that on as soon as you possibly can. Bulletproof vest." Oh, God, you know, from the same night, from some watching the doings, I was putting on a bulletproof vest in Cyprus.
Mm.
and went into, well, I would have, if I had been there long enough, I would have argued that you shouldn't have gone in a place like that to start with. And they had the intelligence corps, it was purely for the intelligence corps, the intelligence corps group who were there was a warrant officer, an officer, a young lieutenant, and about five or six people, you know, and that. And they were right in the middle of the town, right in the middle of the town.
Which town was that, Harry? Ekrutiri, Larnaca?
No. It begins with a C, I'm sure. Larnaca, No, the main capital of Cyprus.
Well, I thought it was Larnaca, but I might be wrong.
Then it must be Larnaca.
I might be wrong, Harry.
Actually, then the name doesn't sort of do it. Anyway, wherever it was the
capital of.
The capital of Cyprus. Got out and was told about, you know, this bomb had been planted in and I think killed one soldier and about two or three others and so on, and I had to put this first time I'd worn a bulletproof vest, I'll tell you, and we had to sleep on the floor of the building. This is why it was a bloody stupid place to build it, which was in the centre of the city, the centre of all these Cypriots around us who didn't want us there, you know. And we had an ordinary small, you know, just a villa, no grounds, no nothing in the thing. And we slept on the floor with guns and everything like that and never undressed. It was just nonsense, really. And when you went out, you went out in fours. You couldn't go out in twos, you went out in fours. Two on one side of the road, two on the other side of the road, one of those looking that way, one of them looking that way, one looking that way. So you never went out, you just couldn't, really. And knowing or thinking, and it's quite right in some way, that even the young women who you pass by could easily lob a little grenade or bomb to you at any time and so on. It was the worst point of the whole of my career, to tell you the truth, for worry rather than anything else, you know. I just didn't like the idea. And when we used to have a little bit of a party, sort of, you had to have it or something, because the thing is, those people get a lot of the drink and cigarettes all from customs, you know, free, that comes with through the customs. We always got cigarettes because you bribe people with doings. I used to regularly get them, and I don't smoke or drink for that matter.
You were given lots of cigarettes to use as bribes.
Oh yes, I mean literally, you know, cartons and much as you could hold. And I once had in this place, mind you, I was only there for about about three months that's right, and I got used to somehow today, and I couldn't eat, and you had to cook for yourselves. Well, you couldn't live like that, you know. I just couldn't live, it wasn't possible, you know. I like things a little bit more on my side rather than that. Sleeping on the wooden floor, on the hard floor, and when you had a little bit of a party, incidentally, we used to get masses of drink, you know, crates of best Irish whiskey, everything, like, everything you wanted, crates and crates, bribe people to do and drink what you couldn't. Most people drank what they couldn't, and so what they couldn't do things, and we had problems. And at one time, I had a, I wouldn't call him a prisoner, somebody we got in, you know, to come in from Cyprus. And I finally had him chained through the lavatory, you know, the lavatory cistern above, the type yeah. of thing, yeah. you know, with the lavatory cistern above held on, you know, brackets.
Yes.
And he was chained through there, and he was set on the loo, you know, a Cypriot, you know. And he'd been lured with crates of this thing, you see, and so on. And now's the time for him to tell us what to think. And some of the suggestions of what to do with your cigarettes weren't, you know, quite the thing, I suppose. So he pulled the bloody top off. He pulled the thing, and the cistern and everything went over the people interrogating him, you know, and he shrieked and screamed, "You, oh dear!" And he was off like the clappers.
And so all the water from the cistern drowned the interrogators.
Yes. And, so, and this was in the middle of the night, you know, in the Cyprus. So don't say anything about it. Cyprus, to me, it was the worst place on earth, you know. Mm. Worst place on earth I've ever been to. In fact, my hairdresser is a Cypriot from there. And I thought, I'd better never say what it's like in Cypriot, or even mention I've been there, because he's the one type who would hate British people, even now, even yes. though he's a hairdresser,
yes.
and what he could do, you know.
Because he's a different generation, he's an older generation.
Oh yes, but he's the type, really. He goes back very regularly, and he's got two sons, you know.
But they do say, Harry, don't they? I mean, I've not been to Cyprus either, but they do say now that the Cypriots in Cyprus are very friendly toward the British.
Well, maybe, you see, because but the thing is, you've got this Turkish bit.
Yeah.
Now, I prefer Turkish. I like Turkish people. I've been to Turkey or Istanbul maybe 8 or 9 times or more to Istanbul. I know Istanbul absolutely backwards, you know, really. And I love Istanbul, and I don't like the hairdresser, you know,
the Cypriot
hairdresser, and so on.
How long were you in Cyprus, Sir Harry?
Well, this is the point. I was there in Cyprus altogether very short time, in actual fact. Probably less than 7 or 8 months.
Right.
Yes, even if it was that. Because it was only a thing to find out, yes, we did. Who planted the bomb in the Nafe? That's mm-hmm. why I had been whipped from our airfield in Luton.
Wilton,
that's right. I've been whipped from there just when I was going to have an evening snack, you know, watching the television. Whipped away and arrived there, you know, feeling not really doing when the first thing they say to you, here were this, thing.
But you solved the case when you got there. You solved the case.
That solved that. And the thing, well, we don't know really whether it was the chap who actually did the thing, but he got clobber for it, and you can imagine if I'd have stayed there, or when he'd stayed there, you know, they would have gone for years. They would have told the kids to follow you in.
Yes.
And that and the report on you.
Because they would have pointed the finger at you as being the person that pointed the finger at the other guy.
So I quickly organised myself a holiday to go venture to Ankara and then to Istanbul. And I got easily. They had no official officer down there. And so I got the thing. And I went to. Oh, and I left. And incidentally, we had to sleep in a fairly poor accommodation in Cyprus, with tents and things like that, you know, and so on. The only building we had that we could use was in fact the office, which was just a wooden brick building about just the size of these two rooms here. I used to sleep in there two or three times, you know, really. Anyway, beside the point. So I had left my kit more or less not all wrapped up ready for going, because I wasn't going to go anywhere. And went to Cyprus thing.
You just said that after Cyprus you went to Ankara and Istanbul.
That's right. When I got suddenly I decided to call into, it was Ankara, where I called into the military police just to tell them, where I got to, how far I got. And they did, and they said, they want you on the phone. So I went to the phone, and they said, get back, quick, you're on the way to somewhere else, you know, in actual fact. On the troop ship, you've got a place on the troop ship. I've never been on a troop ship the whole of my life, you know. On a troop ship, you're going back. I thought, well, goodness, I'm going to UK. It must be, you know, well, doing UK. And I said, it started at Limassol. The boat was going from Limassol, you see. And I went hell for leather back to the thing. And really, because I knew my kit wasn't laid out or anything, it wasn't packed up or anything, it was just folded up and everything like that. And I thought, a boat, but how am I going to, what's going to happen? But I thought, okay, just go back, and actually, right. So I went back, and there's the ship, the troop ship, out, ready for sailing, and so on. And I arrive on the dockside and say I'm here, and somehow they said he's here, okay. So I look, and there at the time I thought, that's funny, I've got in there a metal box, a long metal chest, you know, things which had gone around with me for years and years and years. Big clumsy thing, two handles on, two locks on, everything, and so on. And there I saw, being in a net that they dropped down and so on, and somebody had paddled out a flat floating gadget, and on it, into this net, they put this metal, my metal
box.
Chest,
yeah,
with William McKitten, which was quite right. Somebody had the gumption to have a do at it, you see, and done it. And there it was being hauled up inside, and all the people were lying in the top of the boat, you know, and so on, you know, all going back to UK, but that's okay. So that went up, and then the net came down, and this boat said, well, come on, get onto this flat floating gadget, you see. I said, what? Because I can't swim or anything like that. And I was panic stricken, quite frankly. And this thing went out on its own, you know, to the ship on the flat with me on, and down came a scramble net, you know, the net down the troop ship.
On the side of the ship.
Everybody watching is saying, there's me in shorts and everything, and civvy kit. And it came down, but the net only came part way down when the ship was level, but when the ship did it rocking, it went up about so much, and there was no net. Oh, Jesus.
You had to time yourself, didn't you?
No idea, yes. and everybody jeering and cheering, you know. So finally I clung on, and literally I was being dunked in the water every 5 minutes. You know, I managed to get a leg through one of the things, you see, and I kept thinking, don't get your leg through the net, you'll never extricate yourself. Mm. But I did manage to hold myself on, and they pulled it up, you know, as well as they could, halfway up. But still the ship was going like this, you know, it wasn't doing like that. It was doing like
rocking
this.
From side to
it
side.
Was dunking at me in, and I was being and pulled up till I got to the tip, and there were all the bloody swaddies of troops, you know, all throwing the fag ends, keen as anything, you know, to do things, and finally dragged me on, and literally, they didn't have to give me any doings to get the water, but I was in the hell of state.
But your box got on as well.
My box got the boxes there. The box had gone on first, actually. Mm. And my trouble is, I thought I got a new Intelligence Corps uniform, because my Intelligence Corps uniform that they had before had a narrow green stripe down the trousers, just blue. Green is intelligence colour. And a green stripe down the doings, and I wouldn't wear it because the Intelligence Corps depot where it was then, the local bus service had exactly the same in actual fact.
Bus conductor.
Yes, so I never, ever, ever, ever wore it. Mm. Never, never. Mm. But now they'd got, you know, they'd told me that they'd got me the right one that I wanted, which was nearly all green trouser with the little blue, you see, and everything. Mm. Now that was in there, and that was being dunked, doing it in, you know, in my chest and so
the water.
And so I thought, what a bloody state everything would be in. And there's me clambering up the deck with the fag ends being thrown and that. Mm. And anyway, strange enough, when I finally got down to a room downstairs, and I thought, shall I leave the bloody thing until I get back to UK and, you know, not bother, you know. I should be worried to death. But I opened it and I've got it now. It's in there, in actual fact. And I have never worn it. I never needed to wear it after that for some reason. I don't know what the reason was. But I never did need to wear it. But it's immaculate. Mm. It's got the broad green stripe down. Oh yes, the trouble was why I hadn't worn it, because I wanted to fix the little white collar that goes round here in studs, little studs, you know, and I didn't. And I have never, ever, ever worn it.
Well, it's hardly seen light of day, I would think, Harry, has it? Yeah. Been in your box all the time.
Oh, no, no, it's not in the box. It's now in my cupboard.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no, it's hung. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, it wouldn't. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no, no. It's full of bloody papers and everything like that.
It's immaculate, though.
All that, but
So did the boat then bring you back to the UK?
Yes.
From Limassol?
Yes, brought me back to the UK. And I had literally, what was it? I only had about a year to go before. Yes, that's right. Oh no! Oh no! No, yes, that's right. I ended up in number one Fitzjohn's Avenue. Does that strike any chord?
Number one Fitzjohn's. We're in London.
Yes.
Is this number one Fitzjohn's?
I was sent straight there. Yes. Number one, St. John's.
What was that then, Harry?
The mansion built by that chap who used to be a great sailing pal and boozing pal, obviously, of Edward the VII.
Oh.
What was he called? It's somebody like Sainsbury's, but he's another name. Lipton.
Oh, yeah. The tea people.
Yes, that's right. Lipton. So what do you call it, Lipton? He built this place, No. 1 Fitzjohn's Avenue, which is, of course, as you probably know, is in the one of the best parts of London you can
ever get. But how did you come to finish up there then, Harry?
Well, that was called then, it was called UK Intelligence. I was being put on UK Travel Intelligence. UK Travel Intelligence in, you know, so the Queen or Prime Ministers or whoever go where they were, you know, go and everything. You made arrangements for their travel arrangements.
And security?
And security. And from there. Now, the thing is, with nothing to do at all, in actual fact, three floors of this. Oh, it's a beautiful building. It's on its own, you know, number one Fitzjohn's Avenue. Mm. And I used to hear a raucous singing in the morning in one's voice. Yo, yo, yo. So look round at the back, the swimming pool, you know, built. And next to the swimming pool was a bungalow. And it was a famous comedian. I can't remember her name. I tried somehow the other week.
Joan Turner?